It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. A group of Democrats have reintroduced a resolution in the state legislature called the Economic Justice Bill of Rights. According to sponsors, the resolution addresses economic inequality, racial discrimination, gender inequities, and environmental crises. That proposal has fallen short in past sessions and faces a tough road this time around as a Democratic bill in a Republican-controlled legislature. From living wages to childcare access to the right to unionize, we're learning more about the proposal from one of its sponsors. Representative Angela Stroud represents the 73rd Assembly District. That includes portions of Douglas and Bayfield counties. Representative Stroud, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get to that resolution, Representative Stroud, you're one of several state lawmakers serving your first legislative term. How would you describe the relationship between the Republican majority and your Democratic minority in the state assembly?
You know, we talk to each other. We work on bills together. When it comes down to a lot of the votes you've seen recently, these are clearly very partisan bills. And so you see clear splits by party. But that's because of the bills that have been proposed. It doesn't really reflect the interest, the desire, and the work that happens behind the scenes to try to work together as best as we possibly can.
And what are some of your priorities as a first-term legislator?
I just really want to help make government work. You know, we are seeing at the federal level this attack on government. The desire, it seems, is to do that thing that Grover Norquist said decades ago, make it small enough to drown in a bathtub. And yet, government plays a critical role in our lives. And so we have to have a functional, competent government that upholds democratic principles so that we can, you know, flourish as citizens of this state.
You are part of this Democratic effort to reintroduce the Economic Justice Bill of Rights. Can you talk about the priorities, the goals you're trying to highlight in this resolution?
Yeah. So this resolution is about showing a vision of where we should be focused. So many of the bills we've been voting on recently in the assembly are bills designed simply for political purposes to distract us. Many of the bills we voted on recently were known to be vetoed by the governor. They've been vetoed in the past. He said out loud he's going to veto them again. But we're offering something very different with this. What we're saying is Democrats in Madison have a vision of a society in which everybody has a job that provides dignity at work and pays a living wage, where we have adequately funded public education and affordable, accessible childcare, where union rights are protected and collective bargaining becomes a part of, you know, every job again, where we have affordable, accessible, and comprehensive, high-quality health care. And that's just the beginning.
This is a resolution. It is, like those Republican bills, likely to be vetoed by a Democratic governor. Well, this is a Democratic resolution that's likely not to pass in a Republican legislature. Is this just symbolic, therefore?
I mean, insofar as we don't have the power to move it forward, you know, there are barriers, of course, of seeing it through. But we also need to show voters out there that we're not just against Republicans. You know, we're not just against their bills. We actually have a vision for a totally different way of operating in Madison. If we were in the majority, we would be proposing legislation that would make their lives better in terms of economics, in terms of their families. And so we're making a case here to the voters. So in that way, it's not at all symbolic. It's really just a pitch to say, if you want to see, you know, a society in which we have equity in terms of access to resources and access to affordable housing, there's a party that has your back, that's interested in taking care of concerns that you're worried about. And so, you know, let's work together to make this happen.
We are talking about an Economic Justice Bill of Rights proposal in the state legislature from Democrats. One of the sponsors is with us, Representative Angela Stroud from Northern Wisconsin, a district including Ashland, Douglas, and Bayfield counties. Are you going to take pieces of this? You listed the first half or so of that Economic Justice Bill of Rights. We'll get into some of the other issues. But are you going to, in this session, take some of these and say, hey, can we find ways, for example, to provide dignity at work and implement legislation, work with Republicans on something we can compromise on and pass, even if, you know, Democrats are not getting exactly a minimum wage increase in this legislature?
Yeah, any parts of this that Republicans are interested on working on, we are all ears and, you know, totally willing to do that work together. So whether it's a clean, sustainable environment, for example, clean water, protecting our environment. Those are things that it's not even bipartisan, it's nonpartisan. Nobody wants chemicals in their water. And so we need to be working together now and not wait for the majority. You're absolutely right about that, to see where we can make progress.
What kind of bills, for example, would you chase for the environment? A lot of talk about PFAS legislation. Some has been passed, but money in limbo. Is that a particular instance of an environmental piece of legislation you might see room for common ground on?
I hope so. You know, what we're seeing is where the divide lies in terms of the parties on that issue in particular is who should be responsible. So if a company dumps chemicals into the water supply and your well is no longer usable, my view and the view of the Democratic Party is the company should be responsible for that. Why would homeowners be responsible for something that they didn't do? And so that's where the rub is with a lot of these things, is where are we going to place accountability? And I hope we can work together to figure out compromises where we need to. Some things are hard to compromise on, though. We're not going to, make cleaning up water from chemical spills the responsibility of private citizens. That's just not right. And so, but where we can work together, we absolutely will, and we absolutely must, because the people of the state need it.
One of the ones you touched on, equitable access to capital investments, financial institutions, and retirement. It's kind of a mission statement. What kind of things, what kind of legislation might a Democratic majority pursue to put that notion into operation?
So if you look at the retirement part of that, for example, we have various public service jobs where we don't see equitable access to the Wisconsin retirement system. I was just touring Douglas County Jail earlier this week, and prison guards, for example, don't have equitable access to retirement. And, that's one of the hardest parts of the criminal justice system, is working in jails. And yet it's the lowest paid, most poorly remunerated part of the criminal justice system. And we need to be thinking about how can we leverage access to a good retirement plan as part of the way to attract and retain employment in that really critical sector. So that's just one example, but we could use that for all kinds of examples, thinking about teachers and even childcare workers. How can we make sure that people have access to jobs of dignity and living wages and a robust retirement plan?
Another one you listed earlier, union, public or private, and collective bargaining as, in effect, a right of Wisconsinites. Would that mean, as a hypothetical Democratic majority in the future, you'd pursue something like repeal of Act 10 for public workers and of what are described as right-to-work laws for private employees?
Absolutely. I mean, unions were invented in this state, and they built the middle class, and they're core to strong middle-class jobs today. We have to have the rights for workers to be at the table, to talk about things like salary benefits, and working conditions. It's a fundamental right that's protected by the Constitution. And when we see strong unions, we see strong communities and strong economies. So that's a core Wisconsin tradition. And we see the effects of losing those rights, looking at, our public school system, for example. And so fighting for the right to collectively bargain is a core principle of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin.
Another agenda item you mentioned, affordable, accessible childcare in the state. We've talked on the show about a double bind, low-paid workers in the childcare business, but high costs for parents looking for childcare when they can find it at all. What kind of legislation, what kind of initiatives would you pursue to tackle that issue?
A lot of the things that are in this proposal are really in Governor Evers' budget proposal. And so when you look at childcare counts, it's this state subsidy for childcare employees so that they can be paid a wage that's dignified. And so childcare centers can attract and retain high quality employment without that being on the backs of the parents paying for that childcare. So some of this, we already know how to do it. We've done it before. We just have to keep up the funding levels and make sure that every family in Wisconsin has access to high quality childcare. As the Secretary of Workforce Development likes to say, childcare's the workforce behind the workforce. We don't have a strong economy if we don't have access to high quality, reliable, and affordable childcare. So the state has to play a role there.
You've pitched this, and others have pitched this elsewhere, this overall economic justice bill of rights, as in part an effort to reach out to working class Wisconsinites, a perception at least that the Democratic Party isn't the party of the working class anymore. How do you tackle that issue? How do you make the case toward working class Wisconsinites that Democrats have something for them?
I mean, we do it by showing up and having ideas that meets their needs. And, you know, this, there's a lot of rhetoric on the campaign trail by various politicians saying that I have your back or, you know, I'm looking out for you. But when it comes down to it, it's all about policy. And this is a vision for policies that actually meet the needs of working people, that focus on working class, middle class, disabled, elderly, retired people, and recognizing that, you know, the market isn't going to provide for people on the margins. That's the role that we need to think about playing. And we need to figure out how to build a strong foundation on which a robust economy can exist. But yeah, working class people, I think they're seeing right now what an administration that is says they're about working class people, but then when they get into office, the policies are all focused on how can we cut taxes for the billionaires? And that's not helping, and that's destabilizing our economy. And unfortunately, working class people, whether they voted for Trump or not, are going to be the ones who are hit the hardest.
In our last few moments, you've been holding town halls in your district in northern Wisconsin. What kind of things are you hearing from your constituents?
Well, first of all, people are super fired up, and they're really worried about the takeover of the federal government by Elon Musk. In Superior the other day, you know, people were talking about, like, how can this be? How is this legal? Apparently, it costs $250 million to buy the presidency. And people are just, they're scared. Last night at a town hall in Washburn, I had a woman say, you know, what happens if they take my Social Security? And she was terrified, and she was blaming herself. She was saying, you know, we didn't plan well enough. And I was like, it's not your fault. You shouldn't have to anticipate that at some point someone would try to dismantle the safety net that you paid into. And so people are scared. They're angry. And I'm trying to show up and be a representative who wants to hear from them, who wants to be present. Unfortunately, our congressional representative up here is not doing that.
Representative Stroud, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Angela Stroud is a Democratic representative in the 73rd Assembly District that includes portions of Ashland, Douglas, and Bayfield counties. Coming up, the former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations returns to her alma mater, UW-Madison, to talk about the art of negotiation and about the dismantling of USAID.
You know, my heart is breaking. I have worked on these issues for my entire career. In fact, more than half of my life. I came into the Foreign Service at 29.
Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield is next on WPR News.